Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus stepped into the world. He lived, taught, healed, loved, and ultimately gave his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was betrayed, arrested, beaten, and crucified. He was executed on a cross, though he committed no crime. Could you imagine? They laid his body in a tomb, sealed it with a stone, and placed guards to ensure it stays shut like a lock and key. He was to stay buried. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away. Jesus rose from the grave just as he said he would. And at that moment, friends, sin was defeated. Death lost its power. Because he is risen, we proclaim today, he is risen indeed. Good morning, and I'm so happy you chose to join us this Easter morning this year. My name's Ross. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the honor to walk through God's word with you here for just a few moments. And we get to celebrate the life of Jesus, the person and work of Jesus Christ today. And let me be real with you. Sometimes it's easy for us to think about Easter as just that historical moment that was, right? Even in the few moments I read what had happened all those years ago, we have a temptation just to pause and say, wow, that was really powerful back then, and then move on with the rest of our lives. But the resurrection of Jesus is so much more than power that was. It is power that is today. Because by the power of the resurrection, we can have new life right here and right now. And that, my friends, is why we celebrate. That, my friends, is why we come with overwhelming joy of what is at stake today in you. Through Christ, we are saved. We just witnessed this morning through baptism that step that someone professing their faith in Jesus, they have found this new life in Christ. I mean, for Paul says in Romans 6, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5 says, for if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Notice Paul in Romans 6 say we too may have new life that only comes from Christ, and that we too will be united with him in a resurrection like his. See, that's the significance of the obedient step in baptism. It's not the baptism that saves you, but your faith in Christ alone, that through his power, we are made new. So this morning, what I want to do for the few moments we have together is I want to just take us through four ways the resurrection of Jesus transforms your life today. I want to reflect on the resurrection power we're celebrating today and can walk in today. First way is this. The resurrection of Jesus can give you new position. Paul in Ephesians 2 says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We didn't read it, but prior to this passage, Paul is beginning to tell us that mankind was dead, disobedient, and destined for destruction. That apart from God, we were in a completely different position. Scripture tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we each pursue our own selfish desires and sinful flesh. And in and of ourselves, we cannot be with him, be near him because of our sin. But notice in the passage some key words, but God. When we were dead to our sin, but God made us alive in Christ, we were spiritually lifeless. But God, who loves, brings us life through Christ. And where does God seat those in whom he loves and has given life? With him. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus and its power on display today, we do not have a new position with God. It's the resurrection of Jesus that repositions you and us from being dead to alive, condemned to blessed in Christ. What Jesus has accomplished on the cross, then, what we're celebrating today, gives us new position with God. Once again, it seats us with him, he with us, close to him, no longer apart, no longer far off, no longer lost, but found in Christ. See, it's not only the new position through Christ you gain with God, but the second is this: the resurrection of Jesus can give you new perspective. Since then, we've been raised with Christ. Paul goes from raising with Christ to how Christ transforms our heart and minds. We can look at Colossians 3 together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, Paul goes from that new position to this practical implication on your life in Christ. You set your heart and minds on things of above and not earthly things. See, the resurrection of Jesus and its power doesn't just change your standing with God, but changes your perspective. It changes what you believe. It changes how you live. Have you ever noticed, just in way of illustration, if you've ever flown in an airplane before, anyone ever been in an airplane before? Any kids in the room been in an airplane before? Thanks, got a few up here. Yeah, I see you back there. Adults, we're just a little less excited to raise our hand. I get that. It's okay. Kids. I love kids for that reason. That, you know, they're adamant to be sure they're seen. I love that. We want to see them. But what's so unique about a plane is if you fly over a landscape you've seen before in person, it looks completely different from an airplane. No matter what altitude, it looks different than when you're on the ground. Let's take, for example, the clock tower downtown here in Dubuque. Right, you walk up to that clock tower just walking downtown Dubuque, and what you see is a massive display of a clock that tells you the time and signifies you're in the middle of Dubuque-ish, you know. You couldn't walk underneath it, around it, beside it, but what you see is a massive clock. Say you take on that plane ride, you start to fly 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 feet up. On a clear day, what you begin to see is that clock in different perspective. What you once saw on the ground, you realize from new position, new perspective, is completely different than what you see up in the air. Now, some of you can barely open your window on a plane. That's okay. Some of you kids would rather fly on the wings. That's great too. But either way, you can go there for me. It's a different perspective in Christ. Similar is true in Christ. What was once our sinful position, we're seeking earthly things. It changes. In our sinful position, we become next to him, with him. The things of our flesh and our desires, we no longer are dominated by. We see in different perspective. They no longer have power over us. We see in different light. See, when we're given a new perspective in Christ, that means our priorities, commitments, and values change in our life. We now have new priorities in him to seek not our own selfish desires, but seek his desires for our life and in our world. See, we have a new commitment to obeying his commands, following his path, and being part of his body, the church. What we value begins to change. We no longer value just what comes and goes, but we value eternal things like his word, his truth, and his people, those created by him, which is every single one of us, near or far from him, created in his image. We turn from thinking of things in this world as the most important things to accomplish. We recognize his truth outweighs the desires of the world. Paul goes on in Philippians to tell us what we set our minds to. What is true, right, and noble, what is trustworthy. Begins to list many other things, but what it really gravitates towards, we set our minds on the truth and mind of Christ. Having new perspective in Christ doesn't mean we no longer care for the world. We just care for it in a different angle, in a different perspective, in a different light. We care for it as he does, and in him we do. Jesus not only can give you new position and new perspective, the third thing is the resurrection of Jesus can give you new purpose. Let's take a few words from Jesus to his disciples after he rose from the grave. He was about to ascend into heaven. He gathers his disciples and he says this in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. See, through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus offers you more than a better version of your way of life. He offers you a brand new life, a new mission, a new purpose, a new way to live. See, this mission he gave his first disciples here then in Matthew 28, he gives to us in him today. Go and make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? It's someone who has trusted Jesus, who has surrendered not just a moment of their life, but the entirety of their life to follow him day by day, have heeded the call and invitation to follow him each and every day, to rely on him in every way. And notice Jesus says, of all nations, because his love crosses every barrier. No one's too far gone, no one too far off for his love to bring redemptions, for his love to bring restoration. Maybe you're in the room today and thought at one point you were too far off, but you're walking in Christ right now. You get it. Maybe even you're here today, you feel you're too far off. Let me encourage you, you're not. He sees you and he loves you. Jesus invites us to two things in our new purpose, to baptize and teach. Baptizing leads us sharing the hope and call of Jesus to repent and have faith in Christ, to reach others, to invite them to take a step of obedient baptism, a symbol of transformation in one's life, of the inward proclamation of faith for the world to see. The second is teaching. It means helping others walk with Jesus, helping them see him alive and active in you, not just in what we say, but what we do. And oftentimes we get to this part in the passage and you say, you know what, Ross? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm glad you can do it. But no, that's for all of us in Christ, to be part of teaching others the way of Jesus with our lives and our words. See, friends, it's not only that Jesus saved you from something. He rose to save you for something, for his purpose, his plan, his glory, and for your good. It's not only a mission that has you serving the ends of the earth, but even here and now in your community, Dubuque in the tri-state area, the local church. Because it's the resurrection of Jesus that can only give us a new purpose for his glory alone. And lastly, the fourth way is this: the resurrection of Jesus can give you new power. Jesus doesn't only give you a new standing before God. He doesn't only give you new perspective or purpose. He doesn't only give you a new, but he gives you a new power to live. Paul writes in Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Just think about that for a second. The same spirit who raised Jesus from the grave, the same power that rolled away the stone, now lives in you in Christ Jesus. That means you're not called to live out a new life with old strength, but yet you're given his resurrection power, his spirit, alive inside of you. And how that might that power be on display in you today? Well, it's the power to overcome sin in your life, that he's put it to rest. He's defeated it. He's overcome the sin of the world on your behalf. And so he gives you the power in and through him and his spirit to overcome sin in your life. The power to choose forgiveness, the power to love when it's hard, the power to endure when life feels heavy, the power to keep taking steps in him when the road of life feels extremely long right now and you're unsure you have the strength or the power to continue forward. See, it's not by your own ability Jesus calls you to embrace his power, to strengthen you, to empower you, to not something that you just believe in, but inwardly transforms you to be different, to be changed in him. See, it's his resurrection power that gives you strength to live for him, to be guided by him, to be empowered through him. If we're honest with ourselves, many of us have tried to follow God in our own power. We've tried to make our own way to please God. We've come to him and say, am I just being good enough? Have I done enough to earn place and standing with you? But the reality is, we find that any of us lack any power to save ourselves to begin with. There's nothing we can do. There's no act or work we can accomplish to save ourselves. And that's why the gospel, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, his power is really, really good news. That's why we celebrate today the good news of Jesus. Because although we are powerless, Jesus is powerful to accomplish all that we couldn't, and in reward by the grace of God, give us all that we couldn't gain ourselves. Give us new power to live in him. See, Jesus rose so that you can have new position, new perspective, new purpose, that you can have new power in him. But did you notice that I kept saying the resurrection of Jesus can give you these things? The new life that Jesus offers can only be true of you if you turn to him in faith, if you trust in him, if you rely on him. Because it's by your faith that in Jesus you are saved to be made new, to walk in the new life that we're celebrating this morning. It's only by faith that you're made new. See, Jesus had to die to make these things true of you. And the Bible tells us that he did so joyfully, willingly, because he desperately loved you, that he willfully took on the cross, willfully died the death. But yet, do you see the celebration today is that he's resurrected, and by the power we see on display through God's grace is offering you the life in his place. Jesus would take on the wrath of God destined for you, so that through him, you could have new life. You could have new hope. You could have the power that saves. But the only way to make that true of you is if you follow him, if you follow his path, if you surrender your life to Jesus, if you place your faith in him. Remember the passage in Romans 6? It's when we take a step of dying to our old self. The significance of baptism, it's not the baptism that saves you, it's your faith in Christ alone. But through that step of baptism, what you're showing is for the world to see your different standing, your new purpose, your new perspective, your new power in Christ. You were buried like him in death, death to your old self, to your old ways, but raised to walk in new life only in him. What does it look like to turn to faith in Jesus today? What does it look like to trust him? It's repentance and faith. It's admitting you with that without him, you're condemned. You have a dead position apart from him. You are ruled by living for earthly things and have a sinful perspective. You're living for purposes of your own and not his. And you realize you don't have any power to save yourself or change that. It's admitting your sin, turning to Jesus in faith, that only by his power, his death, his resurrection, you can be saved. You can be made new. You can walk in the power of life. Mark 1:15, Jesus calls us to repent and believe. Repent and believe the good news that it's him, he who has come, that you may have life. And as Paul says in Romans 10:9, we admit our sin and trust in him as Lord, turning to him faithfully. And when we do, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, as we are embraced by him. So let me invite you to see the love and mercy of God today. The grace of God displayed in Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, through his power that promises, completes a work that can make you new. So that as you follow him boldly with your life, all of these and more would be true of you. Some of you here this morning, you have not turned to Jesus to be saved. Today, you feel that tug at the heart. You know, you find yourself here and you're unsure why you're here, how you got here. You're unsure what brought you to this point. You're ready for it to be over. Let me just invite you to be, yeah, that was me not long ago. Years ago, when I walked into a church, I was unsure why I was there either. What you're beginning to recognize is God draw you, tug at your heart. And spoiler alert, it's nothing you ate before you got here. It's Jesus inviting you into following him, inviting you into surrendering to him, into laying down your life to take on his new resurrection power in you today. And it comes by admitting you're a sinner in need of saving. It comes by turning and believing in him as the Son of God who died and rose again to set you free. You can pray that prayer today. You can turn to him today. You can experience his embrace today if you trust him, if you believe. Some of you do believe and place your faith in Jesus. And today, in a way of a spoiler alert again, it's the same thing. The way you come to faith in Jesus, the way you grow in faith in Jesus is coming back to the same truth for your life today. Maybe you've been following him for a long time, but it resonated, that power to endure a heavy life, that power to keep taking steps. And in the unique moment of life, you feel it's long or short. It's coming back to his resurrection power that makes you new. His resurrection power that changes you. The questions to prompt you in the faith today is, are you walking in that new life today, boldly, proudly, for Jesus? Are you proclaiming his truth to those around you today? Are you a part of the mission, the new purpose you are to live out of teaching others the way of Christ by the way you live and the way you talk? Today, may each of you, wherever you're at, see and celebrate the power of the resurrection, which makes us new, so that each of those and more can be true of you. Thanks be to God for his gift in Jesus. Do you see his grace? He's inviting you to embrace it today, Easter Sunday 2025, to celebrate his resurrection that gives us new life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and praise you, Lord, for your word, and ask, God, that you would bless us in our steps and approach from here on, that it wouldn't be a celebration we just look back and say the power that was cool to know, but that we walk in boldly by faith today, that any of my friends in the room that find themselves here and they're uncertain why, and they've recognized they're far from you, God, but can take a step in receiving you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, being changed by your grace and mercy on display today through the cross. They're recognizing they want that new position. They desire it. They need that new purpose, priority, passion for you, the power to live. So God, I pray that they would turn to you in faith, admit they're a sinner in need of saving, and believe that you're the Son of God, come to set them free, and follow you, Jesus. I pray for my other friends in the room who have followed you for years, moments, months, days, and they find themselves at this point asking the good questions. Are they boldly living out the faith in which they've received from you, Jesus? Pray you give them the power and the boldness and the courage to continue in your power, not their own. Rely on you, Jesus, day by day, and not themselves. God, we love you and thank you for this morning. Thank you for gathering us together. In Jesus' name, amen.